We're in the same verses as last week, so this is part two of what it means to be part of God's family as a church family. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. To pray with me. And now, living God, as we turn to your word, we ask that the same spirit that was poured out upon that earliest church and that stirred within them this desire for an ability to live in life together, that same spirit would fall upon us here in this place. Your church today. Our hearts are open, O Lord. We have come because we want to encounter you. We want to be changed by you. And so as your children, open ourselves up to your word. Would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago in this place, we celebrated Pentecost. That is the day when the Holy Spirit fell down from heaven upon his people. The church was born as 3,000 came to faith and were baptized for the first time. Last Sunday, we began to look at the end of Acts chapter 2, which begins with this Pentecost story. And at the end, we find these people gathering together and get this glimpse in how they started their life together. They remember together on Pentecost that this thing called church, that we didn't create it. It wasn't our baby, that this is God's dream for how the work of Jesus would continue from the ascension of Jesus into heaven until he comes again, the church or the people called to carry on his work in the world. God's dream in action. We see hints of that in Acts 2. We see how it started, and then we ask, how's it going? Any of you guys that do the social media stuff, have you seen the trends since really 2020, the how it started, how it's going pictures? It started on Twitter back in 2020 where somebody would post two pictures about their relationship typically. And the first one would show them and their loved one at the very beginning of their relationship and then how it's going, how it started, how it's going. So here's a typical example, how it started, how it's going. And then it started to apply to all sorts of things. We see this emaciated dog, how it started. And then how it's going looks a bit like my dog's life. Al Roker got onto the bandwagon, how it started, how it's going. This one, there's a lot like this, how it started. The dog looks great. All right, Meg, someone posted for 2020, how it started. We could all say that in 2020, right? How it started, how it's going. Acts 2 gives us a picture of the church, how it started. And then we ask today together, and so how is it going? We see in Acts 2 that God dreamed for his church to live together as family. It's all that talk of devotion that we get in those verses. They were devoted to hearing the teaching together. They were devoted to fellowship together. They were devoted to breaking bread. They were devoted to praying together. They were devoted to holding all things in common together. They were devoted to spending much time together. They were devoted to enjoying life with God together. Devoted. Healthy families, we assume, are comprised of a people who are devoted to one another. Last week, we looked at two ways that we as the church are called to live as family. If you missed it, I'm not going to re-preach that sermon, but we've got technology. So go back and listen to it because it builds onto today. And so we looked at two ways that church is called to live as family last week. And today we just continue the conversation, remembering how we started, and so we can consider how it's going. How it started in Acts 2, the church was family and that it was a place to be known, really known. These verses we see, again, people devoted to fellowship. That just means sharing time together with those that you love around the table, life in the church, life in the home. They shared all things in common. It said whenever there was a need, they would work to meet that need together. You know what that means? It means that they know each other well enough to actually know what folks needed. Day by day, they spent much time in the temple together. The first expression of church, it wasn't a bunch of acquaintances that would drive to some common place once a week and sit in the same room, hardly connecting with each other, singing a few songs, hearing a sermon, and then going back home to do life as usual until the next Sunday. It wasn't that. The first church were people living as family, now devoted to one another. The church became their community. And coming together as often as possible, they actually enjoyed each other. They ate together. They laughed. They cried together. They shared their life needs with one another. They spent real quality time together. That's what made them church family. Lives devoted to growing up in Jesus together. Letting themselves really be known by the people that God gave them to do church with together. Family. Family is where we are known. Really known. Family are the folks who know our quirks and our triggers and our passions. They know all of our successes, and they also know all of our failures. Think about your family. Maybe get in your mind a picture of a Thanksgiving dinner where everyone in the family is actually there. Picture them. Who's the most likely person at your Thanksgiving dinner to be late? You know who it is. Who's the most likely one to bring up politics at the table? You know who that is. Who's going to be the first one in line to get their food? And who will be the last one in line? You know who it is. Who's not going to be there? And everyone's going to feel their absence in some way. You know who that is. Who's going to be asked to say the blessing? And who's going to keep their eyes open during it? You know who that is. Who shouldn't sit by whom? You know. Because it's family. And we know them. We've been around them enough to see how different personalities jive. And to see who gets excited about what. To see the idiosyncrasies that make them them. And that make us us. We know them well. Messy as they may be. They're our people. We've come to love them. This is our family. Because just as you know them, they also know you. And we all, deep down in our hearts, long to really be known. The earliest church lived life together as family. Spending enough time, not just in formal worship, but actually enjoying each other, eating together, in homes together, opening up about their real needs together, knowing each other and being known. And in so doing, reflecting to one another this Jesus who really, really knows us and really delights in sharing life with us just the same. Deeply known, fully loved, That's what happens in the best families. And that's what happens in the best church families, deeply known, fully loved. It's what our God longs for us, his people. Are we getting there, people of BCC? Are we getting there? Look around the room this morning. You can actually look around for a bit. It's okay. They won't bite. And ask yourself, do you know most of the people in this space? And not just I've seen them before, but do you know them? Do you know their name? That's a start. Do you know their gift? Do you know their quirk? Do you know their passion? Do you know their need this morning? I mean, in this room of probably 100 plus people, how many do you think you know like that? And I know we've all been here for different lengths of time. Some of you, it's your first time, so you are totally off the hook. But there's really no passing answer. Maybe the best question is that number growing? Do you know more of them today, really know them, than you did a month ago or a year ago? And have you let more of them know you as the days go by? Did you know there's some fascinating people in this room? I wish I could go by everyone and tell you something I know about them. Because fascinating people. Jimmy's expelled from the state of Mississippi. He can't go there. Tupelo. Don't go within a Tupelo. You will get arrested. He's expelled. He knows it's true. He likes that story. Andy and Pam, they eat breakfast for dinner. Dinner for breakfast. Last week, I got a picture at 6 a.m. He was eating a blue cheese cheeseburger at 6 a.m. Isn't that disgusting? Did you know that Mitch won the lottery? That's a cool story. It's all gone now, but he won it one time. Did you know that Tammy has a new job and she's killing it? She's doing it great. Yeah. It goes on and on. Annie just went to Rome. How cool is that? But you know, Gloria makes these beautiful little shower scrubbies, and she loves to give them out. You do know that Zeta loves cats, right? Yeah, we know that. Jeff is a master woodworker. Jason acts like he hates the Seahawks, but it's just because he really loves them. And Roger wants to be a pastor when he grows up. Did you know that? But did you know that? We could go on all day with 120s. Did you know this room is filled with incredible folks? And the more we know them, the more we love them. And the more we love them, the more we live out God's dream for us together. And so the question is, what keeps us from really being known and really knowing each other in this place? What keeps us from it? There's all kinds of things, for sure. But I think the biggest culprit's just got to be our busyness. We live in such a busy world. And when we're not too busy to come together on Sunday, even when we're here, if we're honest, we often still feel too busy to come early and mingle in the foyer, or too busy to stay and enjoy that lunch together for one extra hour, or too busy to join a Bible study or a small group, or too busy to reach out to someone in this room and just say, how about some coffee this week? We're just too busy. And I fear that in all of our running around from this thing to that thing, doing a whole lot of everything, but rarely giving ourselves fully to much of anything, we will find that we are living lives that are spread miles long and just an inch deep. God asked, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to forfeit his soul? He could say, what do we win by checking 20 things off the to-do list for the day, but missing the chance to actually grow in love with anyone. And I tell you, I see glimpses, beautiful glimpses of people letting themselves be known in this place. And it brings joy to my heart. You see it twice a month in your bulletin, right? As Kara puts together these beautiful Know Your Neighbors. It's her stepping out of her comfort zone to try to get to know the people of the church by spending time with them, asking them good, good questions, then letting us know them too. But have you noticed as you read those, she's letting us know her as well. She sneaks in little things about her personality, about her own quirks, her own interests, letting us know her as she lets us know them. It's beautiful. And you know, once a month when Andy comes up here to give the benediction, he's given clear instructions. They're ready to go home. Make it quick. And he just can't help himself. Before he gets to the benediction, he has to tell you something about himself. Something he had for lunch, someplace he's been recently. Just wants us to know this is who I am. Jeremy and Christina, they're on vacation today. They've been on vacation forever, so we're excited for them on vacation. But they've been here like about a year. And they've served in every area in a year, but they especially love ushering. Christina said, I just love that when we get to hang out by the front door, we get a chance to know everyone that walks in the door. She's like, it's the best job ever. Why isn't everyone doing it? We get to know everyone. Emily and Guy and their prayers that they pray for us up here, those are real, honest, vulnerable prayers. And in those places, they show us what's on their hearts when they talk to God on our behalf. All these people in our midst are saying, I'm not just going to pop in here and there, but I'm going to pour out my heart to know you. And I'm going to dare to be vulnerable enough to let you know me. And we all know Jesus better because of them. That we all might know and be known in this place more and more. That we might put some of that busyness aside. What's it getting us anyway? And make this a place where we commit to being known, because that's what family does. And that is the good stuff. Life is too short to not be known. What makes a family a family? Families have this generational focus. I love that during this part we can hear a kid, because that's a family. It's beautiful. In families, the elderly are honored and cared for. And in families, the young are mentored and celebrated. Psalm 145 says of God's people who are called to live as family in this world, one generation commends your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They tell of the power of your awesome works. One generation to the next. My grandparents, I talk about them like every other Sunday, it feels like, because I love them. They have five kids, 20-something grandkids. I don't even know. I can't count. I tell you, the most important thing to my grandparents was being sure that every person in their family knew of the goodness of God. I spent lots of time at their house in the summers with a single mom. Summer came around and we were at grandma and grandpa's house. And I tell you, every morning, little bitty Jamie would walk down the hall and I could see my grandpa's door just cracked open. I think he left it cracked open on purpose. And I could look in there and see him at his little desk with his lamp on, his Bible open, his hands extended, praying to his God every single morning. And I saw as a little girl what devotion to our Lord looks like. Every single meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, started with prayer. Over and over, for my whole life before they passed away, they would pull me aside, grandpa and grandma. And out of all these people, all these 20-something grandkids, they would tell me how they saw Jesus moving in my life. What they saw that was unique and different. Wherever we were with them, don't vacation with grandma and grandpa, unless you want to go to church on vacation. If it was a Wednesday or a Sunday, didn't matter if you were in Florida or California, you were going to find a church because they were going to worship. Vacation didn't exclude us from worship. They told the stories of the faith, and they lived out their genuine faith among us. And I tell you, 39-year-old Jamie knows Jesus because my grandparents were committed to sharing God's goodness and his works to the next generation, to telling of his mighty deeds. That's what family does. And as they aged and became unable to be the pillars of the family they once were, I tell you, the family was eager to come around them and to care for them. Their adult children, they fought over who got to bring them to their own homes. Everybody wanted them. They were never alone. Their grandchildren, we called, we visited over and over again. They were busy when they were in their 90s because all these people wanted to hang with them. These two who had poured so much into us, we saw that it was now our turn, and it was our joy to get to pour back into them, because that's what family does. We celebrate new life together, and we tenderly care for the fragile and the aging together. We raise up new generations to love Jesus, and we tend to the widow and the widower with the love of Jesus. Families are where we raise kids together and where we grow old together. And healthy families tend to the hearts of every generation in their midst. Healthy church families do the same. And so as we live into God's heart for us together, we will know and we will claim the children and the teenagers of Belfair Community Church as our very own children and teenagers. No one in our midst will ever say, I've already raised my kids, done with that. Not in a family. In a healthy family, grandparents pour into grandkids, and aunts and uncles pour into nieces and nephews, and none are done with that. So long as kiddos are being born into the family. One generation will commend your works to another. One generation will tell of God's goodness until the little ones who haven't yet seen and heard have every opportunity to see and hear. And that means that our church can be, our church must be a place where every single adult is actively, actively pouring into someone in the generation behind them. Every adult actively pouring into someone in the generation behind them. No one at BCC gets to say, but I don't like kids. Because these kids are our family. They're our family. We don't only get to like them. We are called to love them. And the dream is that there would be such an interest in sharing God's love with the next generation that people would be having thumb wars out there in the foyer for who gets to do wiggle time this week. Who gets to? That we have a post asking for help, and like the same three people always respond when we've got 150 that could. Oh, that can just grow. We can be better. We can be better. Everyone. The pastor's dream is everyone in the foyer fighting over who gets to have time with our kids this week. Because nobody wants to miss a chance to bring up the next generation in God's love. What could be better? And on the other end of the spectrum, a church family sees to it that our old don't grow old alone. It may be 2023, and we may live in the shadow of the Seattle freeze, where folks don't do the home visits like they used to. They don't make the phone calls like they used to. But we as God's people say, forget about that. We may live in the shadow of the Seattle freeze, but we also live in the light of Jesus. And he shows another way. Families show up at their family's home without thinking twice. When no one's heard from grandma for a few days, the whole family gets on board to make sure she's okay. I tell you, so many of our senior adults have already said goodbye to spouses and have already buried too many good friends. And we are the closest thing they've got to family now. And oh, dear God, help us see this responsibility as a gift and help us do it well. Caring for those who have poured into us. That we might be a church that sits with the lonely and listens to the grieving. Families that mentor the young and take care of the old. Oh, God, that we might be family in this place. Finally, then, family. Family is where you learn who you are. It's where you learn what your story is, what you're here for. Some of you, before you left home after high school, your parents pulled you aside and they looked you in the eyes and they said, remember now, as you go out into this big, scary world, remember who you are. You're a Smith, you're a Jones, you're a McCallum. Remember who you are. And what they were saying with that is they were saying, as you go out into this world, you're going to hear all kinds of stories. You're going to face all kinds of temptations. But remember who you are. Remember where you come from. Remember what your people are known for. That's what family does. They tell us who we are. Around the dinner table, if your family had dinner together around the table, that's where you would hear stories passed down of silly things your parents had done and lessons they had learned. Around the dinner table, you would learn the things that in your family were worth fighting for. Those traditions that your family celebrated together, they told you with everyone what was important, what stories shape our lives. And the church family is the same. It's where we come week after week to hear the stories again of who we really are, what we're here for, what we're actually capable of, what it means to be the beloved children of God in this world. In a world that tries to sabotage our story at every turn, that tries to make us live in fear and confusion, this family right here commits to show up again and again, to remember together again and again the story that is still true. We need to hear, I need to hear a million times over the story of the God who did so love the world. Love the world that he sent his only son, and whoever believes in him will live forever. We need to hear, I need to hear a million times over the story of the God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Even though you walk through the fire, you will not be burned because I will be with you. We need to hear, I need to hear a million times over the words of the Jesus who says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. We need to hear a million times over every chance we get the story again of where this is all going, to this real kingdom, where the Lamb of God is seated on a real throne and he is victorious over all. And God and his children are dwelling together again forever in a place where there is no darkness and there is no death and there is no sadness and there is no shame. There is just life and goodness and peace and joy in the presence of our Savior King. I need to hear that story every day, every week. I need to hear it with you. Remind me who I am. I'll remind you who you are. That's what families do together. Families tell stories to remind us who we are. Church families gather around the story of Jesus every chance we get because we know how quickly we forget who we are. We don't come to be entertained. No, it's way better than that. We come here because our hearts need to get in touch again and again with the story that shapes us. The story that sends us out to be salt and light in a world full of people who have no idea how loved they are by God. No idea. We as a family come to remember our story, and we go to spread that story far and wide. And then we come back to remember again, and we go back to share again. And so how did it start? We got some pictures. How it started. This is a real picture of the early church. Not really. But people living life together. People who had just fallen in love with Jesus. Devoting themselves to fellowship together, to prayer together, to breaking bread together, to hearing the story together, to caring for each other, to spending time together as they all grew in Jesus as one. How it started. How's it going? We see all kinds of glimpses of this family thing spreading among us. All kinds of glimpses. Generations proclaiming God's goodness to the young ones. Wednesday nights around here are crazy packed. Lots of life. Kiddos growing in Jesus. We've got teenagers growing up and learning the ways of serving Jesus. A kiddo passing out the offering and the Lord's Supper. Could there be anything better than that? The next generation hearing how good he is and then telling us how good he is. We've got folks who spend time around the table together week after week. I especially love the picture on the left because that was a small group a couple years ago. And they're not in a normal home in this picture. Barb up there in the right corner, she was in assisted living and she couldn't make it to somebody's home. But she was part of this small group. And so the small group said, no worries, we'll come to you. So they brought the whole small group dinner to her assisted living home, borrowed the little guest room in that place, and they had dinner at her home because a church family leaves no one behind. Where do we see church family? We see it every time we gather in this place, in this very room. One of the best examples that we can see visually is Christmas Eve as we hold up the light of Jesus together and say, this is the story. This is the story that the light has come into the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. And yet we walk out of these doors to go and be that light. We see it on December 24th in this room, but we do the same thing every Sunday. We come in this place and open our ears and hearts to hear again, who are we? Who is he? And we go from this place to share his light as far as he'll let us. In this place, we are growing and praying together and celebrating together. When I graduated with my doctorate a couple years ago, right during COVID, they said, my family couldn't travel. It was during COVID. They weren't having graduation on campus. They said, just do a Zoom thing. And you as the church said, no way, you're not going to graduate alone. So I sat right here, and so many of you filled the pews behind me on a graduation Zoom meeting. And when they called my name, there was a confetti cannon. I think Emily and Danielle rode a broom in the background of a doctorate program graduation. Totally inappropriate and totally perfect because we celebrate each other together. Amen. And in this very room, we have grieved together. We have buried people that we love together. We have shed tears with and for one another. It's what family does. We delight in getting to be the hands and feet of Jesus together. Harvest dinners, living nativities, and a thousand things in between the big things. We're together. We get our hands dirty, growing in the love of Jesus and making him known. And then we just have a heck of a lot of fun together, do we not? Camping, retreating, picnicking, baseball games, just playing together, enjoying life together. It's what a family does. They do it together. All around, if you're looking, if you're leaning in, you will see that there are glimpses of the family of God in this place. My heart's desire is just that we might grow in that more and more. God's dream, that it might come true right here among us. That's my dream too. My heart longs for it to be your dream as well. I tell you this morning, I will be the family of God for you in this place. The question, will you be the family of God for me? Will you be the family of God for us? Will we be not just acquaintances, not just I'll pop in when I'm not too busy, But will we be the family of God for each other in this place? It's God's dream. Could we live into his dream together? Will you pray with me? And so God, that is our desire, is that our lives would be pleasing to you, and even more than pleasing, that we could dare to dream your very best dreams with you. Now, God, you know our culture more than we do. And we know it enough to know that it goes totally against this idea of church family. Our culture celebrates individuals. Our culture celebrates busyness. Our culture celebrates entertainment alone. Our culture celebrates sports. Our culture celebrates really anything that's not worshiping you. But our hearts, oh God, are yours. And we may be part of our culture, but more than that, you are growing us, oh God, in what it means to be your children, your people, your light in this world. And so help us. Help us in this very place grow as a family in all the best ways that that can be. Protect us from the parts of family that can be toxic and dysfunctional. Make us strong together. Make this a place that's so full of life and celebration and grieving together and hoping together and leaving no one behind. Raising up kiddos and teenagers with joy in your presence, oh God. Let this be that place. And let each of us be a part of it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.